السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: وله الكبرياء في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر: ولقد كرمنا بني آدم إلى آخره. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, last week we spoke about a emotion, a feeling that takes place in everyone's heart. That is the feeling of anger. And we named the previous talk i'tidal. Do you remember that? We said that the discussion of last week revolves around the word i'tidal. And i'tidal means balance, justice. A person cannot attain high ranks with Allah Almighty if he does not live a balanced life. Extremism at any end is not commendable. It is not desirable at any end. To execute a'mal with balance, with justice, is what is demanded by our beautiful religion. These emotions that erupt at the heart, may it be the feeling of anger, many a times it is productive, it is beneficial. It will only be beneficial when we adorn it with balance. But if we allow the anger to get the better of us, then of course it's going to be destructive. And we made mention last week that Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us guidelines pertaining to the tarbiyat of our children. And the word used by Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is wadribuhum alayha. That at the age of 10 you are allowed to physically discipline them, reprimand them. Now the ulama have said that when it comes to anger, we should analyze two things. Number one, is it the place where I should be expressing my anger? And number two, how much anger? If a person expresses anger at a place where he should not, it will be destructive. And if he expresses his anger at a place where he should, but it is uncontrollable, that is destructive as well. So when it comes to anger and the expression of anger, it has to be at the right place, at the right level. Now Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that when it comes to the tarbiyah of your children, you are allowed, it is not a must. Like a lot of people say, I want to get married, second wife, third wife, fourth wife, because it is a sunnah. It's not a must sunnah. You don't have to go out and get a second wife. You don't have to go out and practice multiple partners. No. It is an option, but it is not a must. So if the child is misbehaving, it is not a must that you physically reprimand them. Your own children will be of different natures, different temperaments. One method may not be the proper method for the other. But if the child is of a specimen where physical reprimand works for him, you are allowed to. But then there has to be i'tidal. That it has to be balanced, regulated anger and control. Because if it's not regulated, then you will break the command of Allah Almighty. And any time a person breaks the command of Allah Almighty, it is destructive. And that's why there's a hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari on the strength of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, that one person came to Nabiya Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Awsini, give me some wasiyah, give me some advice." Now if you think about the package of Islam, there's so much to give. But most probably this one sahabi had a anger problem. So he needed to manage his anger. So Nabiya Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded by saying, "La taghdab." Do not become angry. And the meaning of is, the meaning of "La taghdab," do not become angry, does not mean uproot anger. That's a natural instinct. But it means regulate and control it. A lot of people say that, "How do I remove anger?" You don't remove anger. You can't remove anger. It's part and parcel of us. A personification of anger is fire. And if you rub your hands, there's fire. There's fire inside you. You can't remove that. There's going to be eruptions of anger. But Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "La taghdab," do not become angry, means express it at the right time, at the right level. فَرَدَّدَ مِرَارًا. He kept asking. Most probably he wanted more advice. Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept responding by saying, "La taghdab," just do not become angry. That if you do not become angry, most probably you will live a beautiful life. That is your problem. Now there may be many, many beautiful people here that do not have this problem of anger. But those that do, they have to address it. They have to come up with different methods, spiritual methods, physical methods, techniques by which they remain in control. Because when a person utters something in anger, he may ask forgiveness from the person that was on the receiving end. He may ask forgiveness, but the impact is so deep and profound that that impact can never ever be addressed. It cannot be removed. جَرَاحَاتُ السَّنَانَ لَهَتَّيَامُ وَلَا يَلْتَامُ مَا جَرَحَ الْلِسَانِ. The poet says that the wound of a spear can be healed, but the wound of the tongue cannot be healed, because it's deep rooted. The wound of a spear is on the surface, it will heal. But once a person says something and the person on the receiving end is not going to remember if you were angry or not angry, he's going to remember the words. So that's why the hadith that has been recorded by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, the Ahmad on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, that Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allimu, allimu, wabashiru, wala tu'assiru, wa'idha ghadiba ahadukum falyaskut." Allimu, teach religion. How do you teach religion? Wabashiru, give them good tidings. Encourage them by informing them of the reward of their action rather than the punishment of not practicing the action. There's a lot of philosophy in that. Bashiru, give them good tidings. If you pray, this is what you will get. You are not praying, you are depriving yourself of this bounty. Don't say you are not praying and you're going to go to hell. But say to them, you are not praying, you are depriving yourself of this bounty. Bashiru, give them good tidings. Wala tu'assiru, and do not make things hard. Do not make things hard. Keep it very, very simple. The package of Islam is a natural package. It is adorned with Allah's rahmah and mercy. And there's ease in it for all people. Do not make things hard. وَلَا تُعَسِّرُ وَإِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ. And whenever any of you become angry, فَلْيَسْكُتْ, remain silent. Become silent. Now think about it. عَلِّمُوا بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. There is a rabat between them. There is a connection between them. عَلِّمُوا بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. Teach religion, give good tidings, do not make things hard. There is a connection between them. But there's no connection of the last statement with the previous statement. وَإِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ. When you become angry, become silent. What connection does that have with عَلِّمُوا بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. So if I'm giving a speech to you and I say, brothers, you should pray. And then suddenly, I switch from there and I say, what a beautiful weather. So what's going on? What's the weather got to do with the previous message? There has to be a rabat, a connection. So what is the connection of وَإِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ? The meaning of this is that even if you are teaching people religion and you're giving them good tidings, if you are challenged and you become angry, everything will collapse. You may be giving them good tidings, you may be teaching them religion, the most honorable job, work, but if you do not control your anger, everything is going to collapse. وَإِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ. So whenever any of you become angry, and anger is a natural instinct, فَلْيَسْكُتْ, remain silent. Remain silent. Keep in mind, remain silent. May it be your wife, may it be your children, may it be your friends outside, colleagues, remain silent. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah makes a beautiful statement. He says that if you are angry with somebody and you are not in control, and most of the time a person is not in control when he's angry, after spitting out the venom, after a few days when he thinks, he said, I shouldn't have said that. It's too late now. So Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says, at that moment do not do anything. Follow the instructions given by Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, falyaskut, remain silent. Just remain silent. Then after 2 and 3 days, when you are in control, pretend that you are angry. Pretend that you are angry. And relate the message to your wife. Relate the message to your children. Relate the message to your brother. Because now you are in control, because you're pretending that you're angry. So the message will get across. And it will be most productive, beneficial. But if we react immediately, filfor, when we are angry, we are going to regret what we say afterwards. But that regret cannot change what we have said. The person may say, I forgive you, but he will remember you for what you have said. So the first feeling that we speak about is anger. Inshallah, we'll speak about feelings in detail in time to come. Another feeling that we spoke about last week, and I'm just trying to give my noble audience an understanding of how important it is to be in control, because if we are not in control and we do not adorn these feelings with i'tidal, we will become zalim, we will become wrongdoers. Allah Almighty in the glorious Quran in Surah Al-Isra, that is the preceding surah to Surah Kahf, Surah number 17, verse number 70, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Indeed, Allah has honored Bani Adam, insan, the human beings. And another very strong statement in Surah At-Teen, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونَ, Surah 95, verse number 4, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. Indeed, we have created the human being, you and me, with the best stature, mold. No one better than us. So we've got self-respect. We've got self-respect. And self-respect, this feeling that emerges that I should be respected, I've got my dignity and my honor, this is fine. But there's a fine line. If a person does not adorn this feeling with i'tidal, it becomes problematic. Think about it. One person, he thinks that I should have self-respect, and that is fine. or you'll be kicked from pillar to post. People will start to abuse you. Right? So you need your own dignity, your own honor, your own respect. But suddenly a person does not regulate this feeling and he allows this to cross the limits. So what happens after this? He becomes mutakabbir. Self-respect, when it is not regulated, will take a person to kibr. He will start to say, I am better. Self-respect, dignity and honor, people should talk to me in a certain way. I have my respect, but if it is not regulated with i'tidal, then a person becomes mutakabbir. And kibr, greatness, magnanimity, superiority, excellence belongs to Allah. Surah number 45, Surah Jathiyah. This is the surah after Surah Ad-Dukhan, the smoke. And why I made mention of smoke? Because I want you to go back home and study the fazilat of Surah Dukhan. Surah number 44, you'll remember it. Go back home, open the internet, right? Find out the fazilat pertaining to the recitation of Surah Dukhan. Once you understand it, you will never miss it. You will read it. There's so much reward pertaining to the recitation of Surah Dukhan, Surah 44. And we spoke about it in the month of Ramadan. Can I get a nod? Yeah, we spoke about it in month of Ramadan. Anyway, the following surah is Surah Jathiyah, Surah 45. And it only consists of 37 verses. The last verse, وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ And to Allah belongs magnanimity, superiority, excellence, kibr. It only belongs to Allah. The one who has created the heavens and the earth, the Almighty, the All-Wise. The more I read Islamic literature, I find that the entire message of Islam guides us to understand the azmat of Allah. That's what Islam is about. Because once a person understands truly the greatness, the magnanimity of Allah Almighty, he cannot become mutakabbir. He will become humble. He will bow himself in front of the greatness of Allah. وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ When a person still has that atom of kibr, where he says, me, that means that there is that much, in proportion to that, there is that much not understanding of the greatness of Allah. The more Allah opens to a human being, the more the person becomes humble. And that's why there's amazing hadith, amazing. It's a hadith of Qudsi. Imam Muslim has recorded this. Ibn Majah has recorded this. Abu Dawood has recorded this. On the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. Now I would like you to listen to what Allah is saying. Allah says, Al-kibriya'u rida'i wal-azmatu izari فَمَنْ نَازَعَنِي وَاحِدًا مِّنْهُمَا قَضَفْتُهُ فِي النَّارِ It's an amazing statement. And I would like to open the gems that this statement has. We read this statement superficially, without understanding the great weight and message that this statement contains. The superficial translation of this is أَلْكِبْرِيَاءُ رِدَائِي That magnanimity, superiority, excellence is my veil. It is my veil. وَالْعَظْمَةُ And greatness. وَالْعَظْمَةُ And greatness is my undergarment, my sheet. فَمَنْ نَازَعَنِي وَاحِدًا مِّنْهُمَا قَضَفْتُهُ فِي النَّارِ A person who tries to take any one of them, the veil or the sheet, I will throw him into the fire of hell. Allah Almighty says. Now I'm going to stand up and demonstrate to you, so you understand this. Just imagine, depict, there's a veil here. Just depict, there's a veil here. Do you depict that? In your imagination, there's a veil there. That veil does not allow you to see me. But then beyond that veil, I have a sheet that is covering me. What is closer, the sheet or the veil? The sheet. Sheet is closer than the veil. The veil does not allow you to see me. But the sheet is very close to me. Now let's go back to the hadith. Nabi Kareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Allah says, Al-kibriya'u rida'i. Magnanimity. Kibr. To consider yourself to be greater and superior than anyone else is my veil. But then the Nabi of Allah, then Allah says, "Wal azmatu, greatness in reality is my sheet." It is because of the greatness of Allah that there is that veil. Because of that greatness, because He is the greatest, the most superior, He has that veil in front. So kibr is a result of the azma. You need to be azim to be kibriya. If one person is kibr, he considers himself to be superior, he needs to prove that he is azim as well. But no one is azim. This is the attributive name of Allah. So one person who claims and he says, me, like the devil, in front of the command of Allah, he says, Ana khayr. I am better. Ana. As long as this ana is part and parcel of you, you cannot flourish. You cannot blossom spiritually. This ana has to be addressed. But keep in mind, this ana, me, it is born if a person does not regulate the permissible feeling of self-respect. It's a bit technical, but do you understand what I'm saying? If a person doesn't regulate and control his permissible feeling of self-respect, he doesn't control it, it becomes kibr. And kibr is only for that being that has azmat. And no human being has azmat. خُلِكَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Every human being is weak. That's why the Quran has made mention in Surah Al-Isra, a beautiful verse. Surah Al-Isra, verse 37. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَلَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. Do not walk on the land with conceit and arrogance. The arrogance of your prayer, the arrogance of your taqwa, the arrogance of your beard, the arrogance of your qubba'ah, the arrogance of your amama. No, don't walk with that. No, don't. Be humble. Any level of arrogance is an indication that a person has not attained that level of azmat of Allah Almighty. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي اللَّهِ. Do not walk with conceit and arrogance. Then Allah Almighty challenges us. إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَلَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. If you claim by your actions, by your words, by your body language, that you are kabir, you are superior, you are excellent, then I challenge you. Can any one of you penetrate the earth? Can any of you be in stature like the mountains in height? وَلَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. How tall can you be? Can you be higher than the mountains? Can you penetrate the earth? أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ كِفَاتًا أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا. Allah has made this land on which we walk a receptacle. It is a container. أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا. For the living and for the dead. You stand on the land. What significance and what power do you have over this land on which you walk, in which you sleep, in which you eat and drink? If that land starts to move and shake and we experience tremors and then it intensifies, what power, what group, what individual, what organization, what country, what superpower can prevent the destruction that comes after that? إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَخْرِكَ الْأَرْضِ. Can you penetrate this earth? Do you have any power over this earth? Look at the mountains in front of you, how high and how tall. وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَ, the pegs of this dunya. You stand in front of them. How many mountains people have tried to conquer? How many human souls, despite all the modern gadgets, have been consumed by these mountains? One of my friends, Bhai Ijaz, he was saying when there was an earthquake in Pakistan in the month of Ramadan a few years ago, very destructive. He said that the reason why the destruction was so loud and clear was because the town was sitting at the bottom of a mountain. And he said that we found one person, one mother, holding the child like this in the rubble. She did not even have time to move. The mountain fell. The entire mountain on the complete town. What power? Allah says, how can a person be mutakabbir when Allah has placed all these signs around him that each moment indicate that he is insignificant? Don't blow your trumpet. Don't consider yourself to be anything. Whatever you are is the direct result of Allah's mercy. If I'm sitting here and you respect me and you are listening to me, it is because Allah has allowed you not to see my weaknesses. This is as a result of Allah's attributive name that He is Sattar. He is the one who conceives. If Allah makes my life open to you, most probably you will not even spit on my face. Vice versa. So those people that claim me, you are doing this, you are doing that, you are doing that, that attitude, that behavior, that approach in itself gives us the stench of arrogance. Tum namaz nahi padh rahe, tumne daadi nahi rakhi hui, aap achhe insaan nahi hai. All these statements in itself give that stench. I won't say fragrance, stench, that there's arrogance there. Even the Anbiya, when they used to go to the Ummat, what did they used to say? Ya Qawm, O my nation. They addressed their nation that were living a life of treachery, living a life of disobedience. They were rebellious. They used to address them with compassion and say, Ya Qawm, O my Qawm, my nation. It doesn't matter what you are doing. That is your affair with your Creator. But you are still a part of me, part and parcel of me. Ya Qawm, O my nation, U'budullah, worship Allah. You are missing out. You are missing out on the benefit of not worshipping Allah. We have run out of time. I have to make a few announcements. But we will continue this topic of arrogance, inshallah, in the weeks to come. But keep in mind, arrogance is a result when the permissible feeling of self-respect is not adorned with i'tidal, and that is moderation. The theme of my discussion for the last few weeks is that all these permissible feelings that erupt at the center of our excellence, if we want to become excellent in akhlaq, they have to be adorned with i'tidal. Have to. If they're not, our salah is not going to be beneficial. Our taqwa, our piety will not benefit us. Allah Rabbul Izzah give us tawfiq to adorn ourselves with i'tidal. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.